have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Yeah,
rock
Turn the heater on, please. Turn the heater on, please. Hi. Thank God for another opportunity, another day. Thank God for his many blessings in spite of all that is going on in our world. We are yet alive and it's a blessing. So we just give God praise, we give God glory, we give God honor. And we are thankful for him keeping us, delivering us, saving us. What a mighty God we serve. I'm grateful for his many blessings. Let's begin by praying. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We honor your holy name. I now ask you at this time, God, to give we, your people, a word. We need a word from you, Lord, a word from you, a word that will strengthen us, keep us, instruct us, guide us, direct us, and encourage us to keep fighting the good fight of faith. We thank you for blessing us with your word. Your word tells us you sent your word and it healed us, not just our physical bodies, but any and everything that we may deal with. Your word gives us an answer. You told us also in your word that the grass withers and flower fades, but the word of God stands forever. So God, give us a word from your word that we can glean from and live by. And it's in Christ Jesus' name I do pray. Thank you, God. Amen. Lord, we are grateful. We are grateful, thankful for another opportunity to share God's great gospel. I don't take these opportunities lightly. Any opportunity that I'm given to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, whether it's in a formal setting like a church service or via radio or any media type broadcast, or just running into somebody that needs to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Before I go into the message, I just want to share that we got to utilize those meetings that God allows us to have where we meet people that don't know about Jesus or know about him, but don't know him in the pardoning of their sins or don't know him as their Lord and Savior. We got to tell people about Jesus. I remember this song they used to sing when I was a little boy that said, you got to tell somebody about Jesus, how he set you free, he gave you the victory. Tell somebody about Jesus. Tell somebody about the goodness of the Lord. And that song is true even today. If there's ever been a time that we need to spread this gospel, it's now. We don't need to be ashamed. We need to utilize our social media outlets, utilize any platform that we have to spread this great gospel of Jesus. And most importantly, when we run into people physically or see people in the physical world, we ought to ask God to give us the words to say to them, because everybody we run into, we know they're not saved. And they may just need a word from us. And they may not get saved right at that moment, but like Paul said, one man planteth, another watereth, and God give the increase. You may be the one that planted, and God will send somebody to water, and he will give the increase. So let's tell somebody about the goodness of God. I want to go to a scripture on tonight, a story that's familiar, but we can always read God's word and get different perspectives and different outlooks on different things. And I'm grateful that God's word can never be exhausted. You will never run out of revelation and doctrine in God's word. And this text come from a very precarious and gruesome situation that these two men of God went through. But God always shows up on time. But he uses our trouble for a purpose. He'll use what we are going through to be a testimony or a light to someone else. I used to always complain, to be honest, when trouble came my way. But I realized something the more I got closer to God, that God uses our trouble to not only bless us, but to be a blessing to someone else. And I look at it from that perspective. And I don't look at it as, God, why me? Why I always got to go through this? Why I always got to deal with this? But I look at it from the perspective of God is using this to for me to be a blessing, or my story to be a blessing to somebody. At the same time, he's also blessing me. So if you have your Bibles, if you would go to Acts, the 16th chapter, beginning at verse 25. And it reads, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all their doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into the house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. And when it was day, the magistrates sent the sergeants, saying, let those men go. At midnight, after Paul and Silas were preaching this great gospel, telling people about what the Savior had did on their behalf, there became an uproar in the city. Because whether you believe it or not, some people don't want to hear about Jesus. Some people don't want you to preach this gospel. Some people don't believe in Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. So Paul and Silas were out preaching this great gospel, and they were taken away captive and then thrown in jail. Now, I didn't read in Acts, the 16th chapter, where they complained, where they cried out to God, why God me? I didn't hear they cursed God and wanted to die. I didn't hear or read where they were mad or upset with God. But it tells me in verse 25, that at midnight they prayed and sang praises unto God. They prayed. So it lets us know when we are in trouble, when we are faced with situations that we can't deal with, we can't handle, we can't fix, we ought to pray. No, we ought not run to everybody that we are having our contact log over. Everybody that's in our address group. But I believe, I know for a fact that you ought to call on God first, because he can work it out. He can fix it. He'll direct you to the right people that will help you in the situation, because God uses people. He will let you know this is where you need to go. This is who you need to call. This is who you might need to email. This is who you need to text. This is who you need to contact. But if you don't go to him first and go all around, you will cause yourself a lot of headache. You will waste a lot of time. But if you go to God first and say, God, I need some direction. Proverbs 3:5-6 tells us like this: trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. So we ought to go to him first so he can direct our path, so he can tell us who to call, who to text, who to email, he may just prompt us, I need to go to Walmart. You go to Walmart to get some items that you need, and you run into a person that ministers to your spirit that with just what you needed, they give you just what you need. And all you can do is thank God. God, I don't know why I did what I did, but you just led me to the right place at the right time. And at midnight, Paul and Silas, they prayed. So they prayed, and I believe they were praying. They didn't say this, but I believe in my heart, in my spirit that they were praying to be free, and they were praying for direction. God, what would you have us to do? You know, we're locked in jail, and we're not going to doubt you. We're not going to curse you, and we're not going to say it's your fault we're in this jail and why you let us come to jail. And if you were really God, you wouldn't let us come to jail. We preaching your gospel. We telling folks about you. Why are we in jail? I didn't read none of that that Paul and Silas did. But what I did read, that they prayed and they sang praises unto God. And sometimes you may be in a bondage situation, a jail-like experience, but you ought to still have a praise in your heart. You ought to still have a praise in your spirit. And Lord, I thank you. No, I'm not thanking you that I'm in jail, but I'm thanking you that I'm yet alive. I'm thanking you that you kept me, that you've never left me. I'm thanking you that you've been good to me. I'm thanking you that I'm still alive. Yeah, I don't have the best of circumstances. No, it doesn't look good. No, I don't have all the money in the bank. No, God, that door hasn't opened. No, God, I don't drive the best car. No, God, I'm not getting the recognition that I should be getting. No, God, I haven't received the promotion yet. God, I heard a word, and I was prophesied this was going to happen, and it ain't came to pass yet, God. But I still believe you, and I'm still going to praise your holy name. I'm still going to wake up with a hallelujah in my heart. I'm still going to tell you, thank you, you've been good to me. Though I've done some things wrong, though I've been some places I shouldn't have went, though I've said some things I shouldn't have said, you've still been good to me, and I just got to give you thanks. I got to give you praise. I got to lift up your holy name. I got to magnify you. The word tells us, oh, magnify the Lord with us. Let us exalt his name together forever. Let us let the world know about our great God that we serve. So Paul and Silas decided they're going to pray, and they were going to sing praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly, oh, I thank God for those suddenness. When you praying and praising God, and before you can get from up off your knees, or before you can quit praying, before you can stop praising, you get a phone call, you get a text, you get an email that God is turning your situation around, that doors are opening, favor is being brought your way. The answer that you needed that was favorable to you and your situation, you get that answer. You just can't even get up and from your praise and from your prayer, and the next thing you know, you're getting what you need from the Lord. You're getting the answers you need. So, but the prisoners heard them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake. So suddenly the God began to move through the earth. He allowed an earthquake. So the foundation of the prison was shaken, and immediately all the doors were open. Everyone's bands were loose. I just want to prophesy to you right now, all the doors that you need to be open on your behalf is opening right now. I believe, yeah, it might not look like the doors is opening, and you may not see in your physical senses, but believe in the spirit that the door is open, and all you got to do is walk through. The doors immediately were open, and everyone's bands were loose. The things that were holding them down was loose. The things that hold us down, depression, sin, sickness, disease, all those things that are holding us down, I declare and decree right now through the blood of Jesus and the power of God, they are loose right now. We are healed. We are delivered. We are set free through the blood and in the name of Jesus. So the earthquake was there, and the foundation of the prison was shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loose. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword. He was panicking because he was like, oh, my goodness, I know I've messed up. I went to sleep, and now all the doors, how did this happen? I know he was perplexed. I know he was just trying to figure out what in the world is going on. Am I dreaming? Am I really seeing this? And would have killed himself because he knew that the punishment that he was going to get for letting all those prisoners escape was going to be death. He would have killed himself, supposing that they had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. So notice here, they didn't leave. The gates or the cell doors were open. Their bonds were loose. But they didn't leave. They stayed right there. And I wondered to myself, well, when that happened, why didn't they just walk out? Why didn't they just leave? But I found my answer. The jailer came in, then called for a light, sprang in, and came trembling. They had to stay there because they had to be a witness to this jailer. If they would have left, the power of God wouldn't have been evident to the jailer. And the jailer just would have had prisoners gone, and he just would have woke up to empty cell and woke up to, oh, my goodness, I am about to lose my job. I'm about to lose my life. But he had to be there to see them with the chains loose, with the bands loose, with the cell doors open, so he could get what he needed from the Lord. Sometimes your situation is not just for you to be free, or God doesn't just come on your behalf, but he'll use your situation to be a light to someone else's situation so they can come out of bondage. This man was a sinner. He didn't know Jesus the Christ, from what I can gather from my reading. He wasn't saved, but he came and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in the house. Now, I like this right here. They spake unto him the word of the Lord. People of God, when we are asked to speak, or when we are just impromptu, we meet somebody, and they may be telling us about their problems, and telling us about their troubles, we ought to have a word in our belly. The Bible says, "The word that I hid in your heart, and I might not sin against you." But we ought not just have the word to not sin against God, but we ought to have the word in our belly and in our heart that we can tell others about Jesus, about how he saved our soul, how he gave us the victory, how he healed our body, how he delivered us from sin. We ought to have a word, not just a spoken word that we can give our personal testimony, but we ought to be able to back it up with the word of God. If you were sick, you could say, "Well, according to God, Isaiah 53:5, by his stripes I'm healed, and I was having some financial problems, but I relied on Deuteronomy 8:18, where it says he's given me the power to make wealth, and my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory." We can tell our testimony, but back it up with scripture, because we are dealing with, I'm going to take a little sidebar, but we are dealing with a generation of people that they hear what you're saying, they see what you're doing, but they also want to back it up with that word. A lot of times we quote things that are not what the word says. We quote things that are not true according to the word, and that's why we don't get the victory a lot of times when we try to witness to people, because we're not giving them the truth. We're not giving them the accuracy of God's word. That's why the Bible tells us to study, to show thyself approved, as a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing truth. So we ought to be able to speak the word. So verse 32 says, "And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of night, and washed their stripes." So the man that was guarding them in the prison, that went through this, he got saved. He took them to his house that night, and he had them cleaned up, and he was baptized, all of him and all his house. And when he had brought them in his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. I'm telling you, your problem, your trouble, your circumstance is not just for you to be delivered, and so you can just give a praise and a testimony that God brought you out. But it's a testimony to somebody else that he can do great and mighty things. He still performs miracles. He still heals. He still delivers. He still sets free. And you need to let your house know, not just your house, but the world know that you come in contact with, that I was in trouble, but God came to my rescue. We serve a God that can deliver you out of any and every situation you go to. And in verse 35, "And when it was day, the magistrates sent the sergeant, saying, let those men go." By you doing what God say do, even in the midst of your jail house or your jail type experience, when you do what God says do, God will bring you out, and he'll bring you out with victory. Not just bring you out. Just remember the story of the prodigal son. He went, squandered all his wealth, lived righteously, but he came back to the father, and the father blessed him again. The father could have easily said, "No, you did this. You took your stuff and you left, and you didn't even have to go, but you left. Why did you do this? Why did you do?" He didn't do that. He said, "My son was lost, but now he's fine." He embraced that son back in. That's what God wants to do with people. That's why it's so important for us to spread this great gospel. We don't need to be telling people, "You need to stop doing this, you need to stop doing that." No, what we need to tell them, that God loves you. And my slogan is this: no matter what you've done, how you may have done it, and who you may have done it with. God loves you, and he wants to change your life for the better. He wants to take your sin-sick soul and make you whole. He wants to heal your body. He wants you to give you the power to make wealth. He wants you to be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, the lender and not the borrower. He wants to take your life so you can be a light that's shining in this dark world, that men and women may know that there is a God and that he loves you and that he wants to take you to a higher height and a deeper depth in him. That's what we got to do. We got to tell the world. So when it was day, verse 35, the magistrate sent the sergeant saying, let those men go. They were free. Your testimony, your work for God will set you free. It will take you to the next level. It will get you out of that bondage. It will get you out of those places that you may seem entangled with. Let the world know how good your God is and how God will take your life and make it better. He will take your mess and make it a masterpiece for his glory. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for blessing us with this word of hope, this word of assurance that everything is turning out for our good. Everything is working for our good. You are going to do a great and mighty work in us, through us, and for us. And we thank you. We give you the praise because we love you. We thank you for being our God, that when you sent your only begotten son to die on that cross for all of our sins. And we thank you for that. Now, God, I ask that you bless these people that hear this message, God. Give them the hope, the assurance, the faith, and the ability to trust in you and you alone. You told us to trust in you with all our heart, lean not to our own understanding, and all our ways acknowledge you, and you would direct our path. So bless these, your people that are listening. Lord, I ask that you bless them indeed, enlarge their territory. Oh, Lord, bless them indeed. Keep your hand upon them so no evil cannot harm them. Lord, bless their bank accounts, their purses, their wallets. Fill them with the money, because you told us in your word that money answereth all things. And God, we know that you're the God that provides. So I ask that you bless them with the overflow, the abundance, right now in the name of your son Jesus. And we thank you for what you're doing. We thank you for what you've already done. And we thank you for just being our great God. And it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Much pain, doing things you told me not to do. Lord, I need a healing touch from you. So I asked the Lord if he would change my heart. A touch from you would provide a brand new start. Change my heart and my spirit. Question. I ask myself, can he really, really love?
Can he love me? Hold me in my integrity. Change my heart.
of love shall never run dry.
All you have to simply say is, Lord, change my heart.
Say it again.
Lord, change my heart.
I know that you can.
Lord,
but I wonder if you will,
Lord, change my heart.
I messed up for so long,
Lord, change my heart.
And so many times I've been wrong,
Lord, change my heart.
I wonder if there's any more mercy,
Lord, change my heart.
I wonder if there's any more grace,
Lord, change my heart.
I wonder if there's any more patience,
Lord, change my heart.
As I lay before your face, Lord.